Welcome to Sweet Kicks with Bricks, the show which helps you decide if a game is worth spending your hard-earned money on or a try before you buy. Now here's your host, Barry Ricks.
Hey guys, welcome to Sweet Kicks with Bricks. I am your host, Barry Ricks, and today's Kickstarter highlight is The Depths of Durangrar by Creative Cove Games, and I have the mastermind behind the game. I have Jack with me today. How's it going, Jack?
Hi, I'm doing very well.
Well, thanks for taking time out of your schedule to come on the show today.
Yeah, no problem. Happy to be here, Barry.
Awesome. Well, why don't you tell people a little bit more about yourself and a little bit about Creative Cove Games?
Sure. My name is Jack Poon. I had the idea for The Depths of Durangrar a little while ago with night vision goggles and just a game played in dark. The original idea stemmed from the idea of creating a game that was sort of like a horror movie where you and your friends are lost in a mansion, there's a monster chasing you, and you have to find your way out of this maze. And this came up about a year and a half ago, and then after the first month of playtesting, it became very clear to me that the original idea was not fun. So it sort of evolved into this dungeon crawler where you can choose how much risk you take on and how deep you go into the cave. And then I added gold as an incentive to look around the maze some more, added more features to the character, so each character had a unique ability this time, and then it just kept growing from there. And then that's sort of our incentive now, to try and like find the most innovative and creative ideas and then see where we can go with it, and then just keep getting feedback from everybody we can.
Awesome. And that's what, people, that's why playtesting is important. You playtest and you find out, oh, wait, maybe this isn't good. Let's change it a little bit.
Yep.
So that's awesome. I mean, the concept of this game is kind of, I mean, it's new and interesting. You play a board game in the dark. So, and all that you have are like miniature little LED lights that are connected to your actual character pieces, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And then the so to speak, the dungeon master has night vision that he can be able to move around and place monsters wherever he wants them to.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so the dungeon master is a player himself, and then he'll usually set up the whole maze, so it's a modular maze. You could set up a new map each time, and then his goal is to kill all the other explorers.
That is definitely always the goal that you should have, right? That's awesome. So now you meant just like off the top of my head, like you say night vision goggles, and automatically my brain's like, oh, well, this game's probably going to be super expensive because of something like that. But it's really not. I'm surprised that you guys have been able to keep it so low. How did you guys go about being able to include all that but have a good price included?
So we worked very closely with the manufacturer, make sure they could make everything. And then the night vision goggles are the most expensive component in the game. And the way they work is they work more like your home security cameras. If you've ever seen those around, they have like a whole bunch of infrared LEDs on them. So human eyes can't see infrared, but camera sees infrared just perfectly fine, and it converts that into a visible image that we can see. And because of the proliferation of home security cameras, it's gotten much cheaper. They don't work the same way as military night vision goggles, which use a highly sensitive sensor. So the sensor itself is the most expensive part, and since we use a regular home security camera sensor, it's much cheaper.
So soldiers don't take this out into the field with you, in other words.
Yeah, pretty much. So anybody with another infrared camera will be able to see you, and that's why the military doesn't use these.
Definitely. Well, I mean, it's still super awesome just to be able to, you know, look through, and, you know, you have the classic green-looking night vision, and just be able to have that concept. So now tell me, with your experience in playing the game with various different people, now how dark do you do you want it to be pitch black, or do you want it to have a little bit of light? How about should people go with it?
Yeah, you don't need it to be pitch black. I've played it at home with just the curtains closed. I've play tested it a lot, and then initially it's like I had a lot of problems getting it dark enough to see, and then after a while I found a good color scheme that worked really well, where it's like all these dark colors blend together, so it's really hard to see it, make anything out in the dark. So you don't need a pitch dark. There's actually quite a bit of light coming out from the board game itself because of all the LEDs and then the clip-on lights that you have through the character sheets. And those actually help a little bit with preventing everybody's eyes adapting to the dark and being able to see in the dark, because there's always a little bit of light in their peripheral vision.
Yeah, and that's cool. And now with the monsters, now they don't actually have lights attached to them, but they're made of a material that will reflect the light that the heroes shine onto them, correct?
Yes. So the monsters are kind of clear, so they refract the light really well. But then when there's no light on them, they just blend right back into the dark.
That's really cool. So, you know, you don't know something's there until you move a wall or you turn a corner.
Exactly.
So tell us about what are the different type of classes and what can they do?
Okay, I'll start with the three different explorers. There's the knight, the demolitionist, and the scout. The knight's able to reduce the amount of damage they take in combat, so they always have an edge when they're fighting someone. The demolitionist can permanently remove walls from the maze, so it's really hard to trap them in a dead end, and they're always able to find new shortcuts for themselves. And the scout has more action points than other players, so he's able to cover more ground in a single turn than other players. And you can mix and match your abilities, so you can focus very heavily on your own special power, but then that reduces the amount that you could spend on your health and attack. Or you can maximize your health and attack and invest very little in your special ability, and then you're more adept at other situations, but you can't use your unique ability to your advantage.
Definitely. And also there's three different types of monsters as well, correct?
That's correct. So the three different monsters are the Thresher, the Excavator, and the Fungus Monster. The Thresher is able to jump over walls and ambush players, so he's really good for hit-and-run strategies. The Excavator can build new temporary walls to trap players, so he's really good at cornering players and trapping them. And then the Fungus Monster lays down environmental tiles that slow down players, sap them of their strength, or sap them of their health. And he's really good at creating area of denial effects, where if he lays down a whole bunch of these down a whole hallway, a lot of players are incentivized to find another way around, but they usually have to find a long way around.
Definitely. So how long does taking setup and playing the game and everything, how long would that usually take for someone to play a full game?
For a full game, including setup, it usually takes about an hour to an hour and a half. The games, you can tweak the game time pretty easily by setting what the goal is for all the players on how much gold they want to get. So I've had some marathon long games where players are playing to 3,000 gold and that one's gone for like 2 to 3 hours. But then there's some short games where it's like you play for 500 to 1,000 gold. And those are fairly short because you just pick one strategy, you get good at it, and then you execute it well and you win.
And also, people always take into consideration that when you play the game for the first time, add a little extra time to that, of course.
Yeah.
So, just trying to get used to everything and the setup and everything. So that's awesome. So right now, when we're recording the show, you still have 8 days left to go on the campaign. The campaign's set to end on May 27th. And you guys are like 95% funded at this point.
Yeah.
Something like that.
We're
something
really
like that.
Excited about that.
So close. So, and you know, with 8 days of good full week plus to go on that, I think for sure you guys are going to hit that goal. So when that happens, when is the tentative, and I say tentative, people, because we understand that so much goes into producing a game and shipping it out to people. But when do you hope to have the game out to backers, and do you hope to make it available to retail as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So our schedule right now, we're planning to ship the game by May 2017. So we figured it would take us a year to finalize all the production, and we've gotten tremendous feedback from everybody we showed the game to. So our next 3 months, we're really looking at taking all that feedback and incorporating that into the game so the backers get everything they want. Then after that, we're looking to talk with manufacturing, make sure they can make everything, and then we want to be there when they make the first run so we could make sure everything is to the same quality of the prototypes we want and everything works the same, especially with how important the color scheme is, how important how the LEDs and night vision goggles work together. We want to make sure it gets right the first time rather than we produce all the copies and then we find there's a problem with them. And then after
Definitely.
That is really shipping. So originally in our estimates, we figured it's like we could probably get production and start shipping in February, but February is Chinese New Year and then a lot of things shut down. So we've seen a lot of lessons learned from other Kickstarters about shipping problems they've had, around seasonal occasions like Christmas, Chinese New Year. So we really wanted to like, okay, let's take the time, do it right, and then try and avoid some of those problems. So we scheduled it for May.
Good. Well, that seems very reasonable and logic behind all those decisions. So, Jack, thanks so much for taking time to come on the show today. I mean, the Depths of Durongar looks super awesome. Just the concept in itself, playing a game in the dark and involving night vision goggles, is just super fun. And dungeon crawlers are always a big plus in my book. But why don't you tell people maybe more where they can find out about the Depths of Durongar and maybe about Creative Cove Games?
Sure. We have a website at creativecovegames.com. We also have a Facebook and Twitter account, so you can follow us there. And then you can definitely check us out on the Kickstarter as well.
Awesome. And we will have links to all those and definitely in the show notes, giving you guys easy access to that. Jack, once again, thank you for coming on the show, and good luck with finishing the Kickstarter and any future projects that you guys are going to be producing.
Thank you so much.
And thanks to Dan Patrice. He's Dan the Board Game Man. He created our intro and outro, and you can find him at thegeekallstars.com. And remember to back your projects wisely.
Thanks for listening to Sweet Kicks with Bricks. If you'd like to mail the show, send any questions, comments, or interview requests to sweetkickswithbricks@gmail.com. Sweet Kicks with Bricks is a Closet Geek Studios production. For more information on The Closet Geek, please head to closetgeek.net.